You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I feel like Jimmy Swaggart for a moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to have an interesting show. You can't hear?
I'm not sure I can hear through here. I can hear you.
You hear me?
I can hear you without.
Can you hear me?
No, you know, I don't think this is on either. Well, I heard the music, so it has to be on.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you hear me now?
I can hear you outside. You know, I can hear you fine, but
okay.
I'm not sure it's coming through here.
Yeah, no, it's deceptive.
It's very deceptive. Anyway, welcome
to the first
to
time he's
Super
been on
Bowl
the radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Show tonight, and it's going to be in New England. Patriots versus the...
Yes! Somebody was making a joke on the Chew that Brady, it's like his shoulder must be going out of socket because he's got all the Super Bowl rings on that one hand.
Oh, yeah. I heard that one.
Yeah.
Well, funny. You know what? We'll see what happens. But you know what? I've seen a lot of upsets.
Oh,
Philadelphia
yeah.
can win. You never
could
know.
Could be.
You never know. Yeah. And next year, I'll go to next year's Super Bowl. You know where it's going to be next year?
Where?
It's going to be in Los Angeles.
Oh, really? Fabulous.
Yeah, it'll be good for a good economy for L.A.
Yeah. Oh, and also I would like to say that I'm for changing the name from Super Bowl to what it really should
Football.
Be. Football. No, the American male national holiday.
Yeah, it is.
Well, you know, ladies, get out, or gentlemen, get out and make sure you cook for your friends, your gentlemen friends.
Leave your wife at home
yeah.
and don't bother her that day. But you know what happens on that day?
Oh, yeah.
The biggest rape day
yeah.
in L.A. County
yeah.
is Super Bowl Sunday. And also All over the country. And it's from the male hormones.
Get a little too overwrought and decide that they have... Well, this is also back to, you know, God loves boys best. Garbage that's been going on for the last 6,000 years.
She's got to let you know. Anyway, now we've got a visitor from a wonderful event they hold up in the Ventura County area.
Mm-hmm.
And were you guys hurt by the recent floods and all that?
No, they passed away from us. The
Santa
winds,
Barbara.
The winds take everything north and west of us.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
thank God.
Good.
Thank God you're okay.
Yeah.
And people, Santa Barbara, we want to... Send our
oh dear God!
You know, we want to send our greeting of hopefully
slide.
You get back. It's a rough going. You know, when you go through that type of with
oh,
the fire
terrible,
and the
yeah.
mudslide.
Back
then
in Malibu, they just had a fire.
The other day, yeah, I was smelling that.
And
I was like, where's
ashes.
This fire? I'm smelling fire
in
downtown because you know the wind blows from the ocean.
Yeah,
right through downtown. You
so you're
smell
having
things.
Like a bonfire.
Yeah,
like a bonfire weekend. And then we're gonna introduce ourselves. A gentleman that put together the wonderful, wonderful event called the Civil War Days at Strathern Historical Park and Museum out in Simi Valley. And I'm if I pronounce your name wrong, heck, no, I'm just kidding. Your name is Bruce Metzen.
That's right.
So welcome,
that's right.
Bruce. And are you the organizer?
Yes, I'm actually a docent at the historical park.
Okay.
Have been for 8 years, and I've always been interested in the Civil War, and have come up with a great group of reenactors, and so we had our direction at the park. We had their reservations at the beginning because we didn't have any Civil War, of course, in Simi Valley.
Right. Moore Park had their event, didn't they?
Yes, Moore Park has a much larger event.
Yeah.
Our park is, I think, about 6.5 acres.
Uh-huh.
We have the main thing there is the adobe of the Rancho Simi, which dates back to 1795.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So we were given these 6 acres. And we have been moving older structures to the park so that it looks like a village from the late 1800s.
Oh, how fabulous.
Oh, wow.
And what the reenactors just love about it is that when you get the troops all dressed up and the civilians all dressed up and Abe Lincoln is on the steps of our Victorian house, you feel like you're back there.
Right. You feel like you just went back.
Very nice. That's a wonderful
visual
experience.
Historical warp.
Yeah.
That's nice because you know what it is? When you see history being done, it puts it, you always remember. Because I went to one in Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
They do the reenactment. And this, in Simi Valley at least, you remember it. Your kids remember it. Your grandchildren remember it. Everybody at that place remembers it. And they go back again. They want to see it again.
Well,
it's living, having that living experience, especially
right.
for the children, it makes history a little
real.
Real for them,
real
a little
for
easier
them, yeah.
for them to understand.
Well, we have we discovered about 5 years ago a most wonderful idea, which they always try to do when they do the reenactors, but we've kind of made it a centerpiece, and that is what I call the Young Folks Battalion.
Okay.
And what that is the local school kids can come and join whichever army they want to. And depending on North or South, and they either get a blue or a gray Civil War hat and a bandana and a training musket and an actual reenactor in full uniform with his real Springfield. Takes them out, shows them how to march, and takes them through some battle tactics.
They don't use any real guns, do they?
No real guns.
No real guns. Okay.
No, but one of the drill sergeants that they had went all out last year and made them all little cartridge pouches and little dummy cartridges. So the guns at the time you had to load them down the barrel, and so here's all the little boys and girls tearing the cartridges with their teeth and then pretending to load down the barrel.
As I say,
we don't play favorites. If you're for the South, then you get a gray outfit, and if you're for the North, you get a blue outfit. And also, if you're a girl, you get to be right there with the rest of the troops, because, as we point out, in the real Civil War, there were plenty of girls that sneaked into both
armies. Right, yes, exactly.
So they are learning history, but they're watching, they're actually participating in the history.
In fact, in the southern end, a lot of presidential families came from the Civil War.
Uh-huh, you know? That's right. That's right, of course.
Bill Clinton's family.
Yeah.
And then you had others, the slavery issue where they rose to
They had the black
leaders.
Battalions.
Yeah, they had
the
black
North.
Battalions.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, it's a wonderful thing. By the way, tickets are available.
Yes.
How much are they?
They're $6 for adults. But
that's
online, you can go
reasonable.
SVHS. Ticketleap.com,
uh-huh.
or there's a dot between the HVSS and Ticketleap, and then you can get admission for adults for $5, so it's a little cheaper that
it's
way.
It's a deal. It's a deal.
Yeah, it's
and
not
you
expensive.
Got food.
All
people
kinds of
animals.
All kinds
come
of
and eat barbecue. We have a wonderful barbecue.
Ooh, barbecue.
Barbecue.
Kettle corn,
right,
et cetera. But in any case, the other big thing that we have is a marching band, which is made up of fife and drum,
uh-huh.
high school age kids, all in Civil War uniform,
uh-huh.
and they do a heck of a job, and it really does give a musical background to the whole event. Mm. It's the other thing I did want to mention is that go ahead.
Well, you said you have a Victorian lady had to go through. You see what. I guess it's
For dressing. Oh,
dress and everything.
Ladies, we have it so much easier these days.
Yeah, no corsets.
No, these corsets and things, even from when I was a girl.
We used to call it the Civil War encampment, but I changed it to Civil War days because the center idea of the whole thing is that you are back 150 years ago. And you are enjoying an afternoon in the park, basically.
Right.
So we have strolling minstrels. We have a local club that does Victorian era or Civil War era uh-huh. dancing, and so you can go to a barn dance and join in. They will teach you how to do these dances. And the girls and boys from the marching band all turn into dancers. And
cool.
Yeah, it's a wonderful
thing. You can
thing.
Have entertainment.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
But anyway, so if people want to go to this, how would be the best way? Do you buy tickets through the WW site?
Or, you know, if you don't mind the extra dollar, then just come out to, come out to the gate. The best way to come from the LA side, I think, is just to get west on the 118. People think of Simi Valley as being on the moon, but in fact, it's closer than Santa Clarita. What you'll see on the freeway are a historical signage for El Rancho Simi,
right,
which is our state historical designation. Once you get off the freeway at Madera, then you'll see that same signage, and then right after that, you'll start seeing signs for the Strathern Historical Park. So don't get confused. The two are the same thing.
Okay.
And
okay,
so
good.
Just...
by the way, Presidential Museum.
The Presidential Museum is along the same road a little farther away.
Yeah, yeah. Ronald Reagan.
I've been there several times.
Yeah.
So that was
yeah.
very good. The one little thing I want to mention about the Civil War, that the regular soldiers, the regular young men that were enlisted, would actually play chess games in their head as they were on those long marches.
Wow.
They actually could do that in their head. This is a lost brain art that we have.
All we do is play chess in the White House. Anyway.
They were smarter in those days.
Yeah. Is there anything else? Anything else that you want to add?
Well, let's see. If anybody's interested in old-time clothing, they have handmade clothing from the Civil War era. Last year, if you remember the occasion last year, there was an actual Civil War wedding where two people in costume got married to each other.
Oh,
it was an actual
lovely.
Wedding.
Nice.
So we have surprise things from time to time.
It would be a good idea to have the type of food they would have served during the Civil War. At this, that would be interesting.
It would be interesting, but less tasty.
Yeah, exactly. That was hard. Were they still doing hardtack?
Hardtack, absolutely.
Oh
so,
my God!
Yeah,
that
you have
break
to.
Your teeth.
You'll have to see your
stuff.
Dentist afterwards.
So. Hardtack. Yeah. What else was it? What was their main food?
You know, well, it was hardtack, and they were supposed to be given a certain amount of dried peas that you'd boil up and make kind of a soup out of, and then a certain amount of salt beef or pork. But to keep the beef from spoiling, it had to be heavily salted.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and
God.
So when you got your ration, the story went that they would take the cut of meat and they would tie a string to it and put it in a stream, in a running stream overnight
to get the
salt out of it. Otherwise, it was pretty well inedible. So
that was the only way you could preserve meats.
Yeah,
this was an excellent transition, however, that you just made, because if the soldiers got tired of that and had a little cash, they would go to what was called sutlers, and a sutler is a private seller of whatever the army doesn't give the troops. And so we actually have sutlers there. They don't sell food, but they sell everything basically that you would like. You know, if you have a daughter who'd like a parasol or a neckerchief, a gentleman would like a walking stick or even a shirt or a dress. That's all there for you to peruse and and to choose. So
how cool. Anyway,
yeah.
We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for coming.
Guy, big hand for coming on our show. And then please let us know. You're going to have it this weekend, right?
It is
February the 10th.
February 10th and 11th, yes.
From 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday from 10 to 5.
Starts at 10, goes to 5 on Saturday and 3 on Sunday.
By the way, same time as the Cowboy Festival.
Where's the Cowboy Festival?
In Santa Clarita.
Okay, uh-huh. That's the other direction.
Willie Nelson's coming.
We try to stay clear of everything else, but you just can't do it.
You just can't do it.
I think there's a Revolutionary War down
there. I appreciate you coming on, and that's it, I guess. So let's move on to, let me read a little of what's happening.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. We really appreciate it.
We just got to move on with the show. Anyway, real quick, what I was going to mention is that there's been a lot of newsworthy stuff going on in L.A. around the country, and it's been, they said about the memo accused FBI of abusing power. So I'm going to get a copy of that.
Oh, the memo?
By tomorrow. Someone's going to send me the official
copy of the memo?
Memo. So we'll find out what it really is.
What it really
is. And
then
Congress releases a controversial document on the Trump campaign despite FBI warning.
Ugh.
So what I get out of this whole thing is political fighting.
I did the Y this morning, and I was going to get my green machine drink, and I was watching CNN or on the big screen, and I just looked at these two guys. I said, I taught elementary school for years. This is like fifth graders.
Bruce is leaving. Thank you, Bruce.
Ideologically, just wrangling and immature behavior. We have so many problems in this country. I think we need to be focusing on.
Yeah. Well, what they're doing is in the news, and it's become such a crazy situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we need to do is get back to what people, get people jobs, get the economy going.
Well, the economy's been going, so he's been...
No, today they had a big crash on Wall Street.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right.
Big crash. A lot, you know what companies were affected?
What?
Apple. All these companies were affected today. Apple, all these companies were affected. You know what their stocks went down to? Minus 80 points.
What's going on?
There's all kinds of finagling going on anyway.
What's George Soros up to these days?
I haven't visited him lately. Anyway, we had also sad news. Temptations, wonderful that Papa was Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
One of their head acts, Dennis Edwards, died. He was 74. I remember Temptations. They were like, you watch Soul Train. They had Dick Clark
in Philadelphia.
You're young, but I remember Dick Clark?
My cousins they took the bus from New York and they went down to Philadelphia to do the Dick Clark show back in the day because the boys were always older than us girls.
They'll get you.
They could
they'll
go do that. Okay.
Anyway, we got a famous psychic.
This gal, Alice, she was on a few weeks ago.
Yeah, she did my birthday.
She did, birthday show, and she read.
Because I was all, I had Carmella working on my, making me too mellow. Too mellow. Was I too mellow that day?
You were on a cloud.
I'm telling you.
Alice is fabulous.
Thank you.
And she's legit people. I was raised by an immigrant Italian woman who I always had to watch when she was giving her psychic projection. My mother. Because she was the queen of spin. I mean, she'd take anything that they were saying and she'd spin it to her own.
The woman's downstairs, she's kind of strange. Because I've seen people come in and they disappear.
I was like, maybe I'll go get my palm read. And then you won't see me. You'll know what happened.
You'll see. What happened to her? I just seen her.
Yeah, so this guy's legit.
Let her read me because last time we really didn't have a good chance.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I'm happy.
So we should start with me and then tell us about what's going on.
Okay. Sure. Well, go on. You got it.
Now tell us, when we hear the site, we're going to have Shannon on. Shannon Lester is someone I've known for a long time. Uh-huh. She was with Gayle Thatcher. Used to have a psychic fair up in Sylmar.
Okay.
A long time ago. Yeah. But Gayle is getting investigated by the feds.
Oh, wow.
Because why I don't premise, I tried to ask her last year because they questioned me about John of God. It's a whole
fiasco. Yeah.
Because John of God, be honest with you, I never felt very comfortable because she was taking money. You never see anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy oil that didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And when I confronted her, I was sort of last year at the LA Life Consciousness. And she ran away from me. She's dealing with a mafia guy. Crazy stuff that was going on.
Oh, my goodness.
So when we did the show last year, that was going on because I asked her, I go, what's this deal with John of God?
Yeah.
And she wouldn't talk to me. So that means there's something there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the government's investigating it. And we don't want to get involved with her because I had her as a Reiki teacher, Reiki master.
Uh-huh.
She was okay. But then she got weird when she got too weird with other people. And she almost ran into my car. And that means adult stuff that happened on her ranch.
Adult
movies were made.
Allegedly.
That's what we always say.
Allegedly.
But anyway, so of the psychics and everything, she was the one I used to go to. And then I went to a lady in Malibu, Avery. You know about Avery?
I don't know Avery.
Avery did. She was Nancy Reagan's psychic.
We're
going to have her in one day. I want to get her in because Avery talks about the White House.
Okay,
and every decision when Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's was made by Avery.
Yeah, and I know they used it in the astrologers,
to
too,
it
and
was
stuff.
Very
yeah.
astrologer. And then at the end, when Ronald Reagan left, she even asked about his life, Nancy. She worked, still worked with her.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think she should be at the presidential library.
Yeah,
she
should have a like thing a good thing.
So anyway, tell us about yourself. How did you know you were psychic?
Ah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
I was always kind of aware of the spirit realm from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
But because of my upbringing, I was taught that it was demonic.
Oh, yeah.
And that I
Tell us about
to,
your upbringing. What do you mean by that?
I was raised very religious.
What? Catholic? What?
No, you're Armenian, a Christian. Coptic?
No, I was not raised Coptic. The okay. interesting thing about my family is... I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. It's a very different.
Yes, it yes. is.
Okay. So I was basically, you know, taught that any kind of interaction would be like satanic and mm-hmm. that you can have to pray it away. So I spent the majority of my life shutting it out, or at least trying
right.
to.
Right.
And they always come to your door. They always say, could you give me some money?
Well, no, right? they like to come in and talk to you because they want to.
I give you a
you
little
know,
book.
They genuinely want to save your soul because they think your soul needs to be saved because they have such a limited, you know, a lot yeah. of religions have a very limited perspective of on what it means to be a.
They were like the Kmart. I always saw them the Kmart. Kmart. You know why? Because it would come to you. And I had a lady that was very interesting.
Uh-huh.
She talked about with drugs. That's how. Became a Jehovah's Witness.
Drugs, you said?
No, she was using drugs.
Oh, she was.
Oh, so
okay,
then
yeah.
she became right. Jehovah's Witness.
Then she went. To, she yeah. Met, yeah, which is you know compelling. But then, when you catch her story, it always centered around the money.
Yes.
And then it didn't get back to the spiritual. And you say, okay, we know mm-hmm. she's spiritual, mm-hmm. but what happened to what? You know, why are you talking about money? So it ended up when I interviewed her, there really was nothing she could talk about the spiritual. So tell us, so you were in that environment, I understand.
Yeah.
So it's like the Mormons.
So you had no birthday parties.
I had a girlfriend.
No
birthday parties. I had a girlfriend like a Mormons, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Amber, yeah, Amber knows her.
Oh, Amber knows her. Love her. Yeah, Amber knows her real well. And by the way, so you were brought in this environment very,
yes.
it was very, you know, you're in your own thing.
Yeah.
Almost like the kids in that place in Paris, California.
Oh my God!
Parents,
well, yeah, no, it's not that
yeah.
bad.
Oh no! Well, I mean, yeah, it wasn't. I didn't. I can't say that I had anything that traumatic occur to me to that extent.
Your dad
like
didn't
those
lock
children.
You up. He didn't put you in. The
no, I was never. Yeah, no, no. My parents were never in any way abusive.
Right.
Okay,
so you were involved in this.
Yes.
What got you into?
What made you step away from that to
yeah.
be able to recognize your ability and honor it?
Everything fell apart. The dark night of the soul. I
oh,
was in
yeah,
a.
That's a good card.
I was in a marriage in the church that opened my eyes to a lot of things where I couldn't keep my head in the sand anymore. I mean,
uh-huh.
I had doubts for a long time.
Was the marriage? Did they match you both together? Or what?
No, it was not an arranged marriage. It's somebody that I had married willingly.
Okay.
But I was like 20, 21. I mean, I didn't know what
you're
I was doing. And so, and just things within like the belief, like what the religion taught. I had a very hard time believing, and I spent the majority of like my late teens like white knuckling. I was studying, I wanted to go be a missionary and everything I was doing to try to hold on.
Right.
But then I just got to a point where I couldn't grasp the religion anymore. It was not speaking to me anymore. I wanted to leave the marriage. I wanted to leave the organization, the
right.
church, and just everything started falling apart. And so I went through a period where I was very kind of agnostic, borderline atheist. And I got very sick, and I met someone who was a healer, and I was like, I didn't know what else to do. I was like, I'm going
right.
to try it.
Yeah.
And then I got to a point with her where she's like, oh, well, your root chakra's blocked, and you need to pay me
$5,000
so I can fix it.
Yes. I'm going to give Cassandra $20,000. Cassandra, I'm going to give you
$20,000.
But you know what? So she said
$5,000.
What, rubies?
I don't know. $5,000 American dollars.
Wow. I had that.
Oh, dear freaking God. I can't stand these things.
Well, because they make it a business And was it a FedEx?
This is the unfortunate thing, because with this woman, even though I've parted ways with her, I will say legit, she was somebody who had abilities, who did have a gift.
Right.
I also feel she was a bit of a swindler, obviously. And I didn't have...
They take money, that means the
Well, especially... The
spiritual realm, in the spiritual realm, like I do jure, I give the handing light to people. I never charge them. I never think about that. What I do, if I can get them to God and God takes over, fantastic.
Yeah.
But if I put my human thing on them, it's never going to work.
Yeah.
It's me judging them.
Well, I don't have any issue with people that take money, because it's an exchange of energy.
Right, exactly.
But somebody with a blocked root chakra is not going to have $5,000.
Exactly. Nah.
It's not going to happen.
That's a little... Now, you know, I agree with you. Yes, when you come from readings, you pay for the reading, because a lot of people
don't value. But just be careful on the readings, too.
But yeah, you don't want somebody that cons you. And she doesn't con. Let me tell you, once again, ladies and gentlemen, this young lady, I watched her when I went to her. I watched who she was getting her information from. I listened to what they were saying to her. And she was telling me the exact same thing. So I finally, I relaxed and just have to be on top of it. She is legit.
Thank
she
you.
Is real.
Okay, so let's do a little reading.
Reading.
So do a reading on me, and then you.
So she's clairaudient, which means she'll hear the voices talking to her from the other side, which is a function of the brain to pick up interdimensional communication. So basically she's translating, interdimensionally translating what's happening or the information coming through. It's all part of the brain, and the quantum physicists have been proving all of this stuff is existing now. They just haven't built the machines to do it. Actually, you know, they have some machines. I was watching one of those TV shows, and they have this new box that actually now the ghosts can actually talk through the box.
Oh, the spirit boxes.
You know what I'll have you do? Yeah. As she dreamed me, so this way she can focus on me and I can focus.
Yeah.
Say what they do.
You want me to tell?
Yeah,
what,
you take over. You
I'll
take
do
over.
A, I'll do like a sports. Like, it's like a sports reporting of cards.
Before
she's currently shuffling a deck of cards.
Before you start, I want you to bring up your energy, Cameron, and then she can
focus
do
on you. You focus.
Okay. So just get relaxed. Make sure you don't have your arms or legs or anything crossed. Take a deep breath in for me. Breathe out, and say your full name out loud 3 times, please.
Oh, Cameron Hunter Datsker.
3 times.
Yeah, go ahead.
3 times. Say your name 3 times, honey.
Well, we're on the air. So anyway, tell people what I...
Okay, first of all, say your name so that you get the energy connected for her.
And then
I'll
then
I'll take over from there.
Okay.
So I want to take a deep breath in, breathe out, and say your name 3 times for
you
me,
need
please.
To be focused on you so that you'll create a magnetic pull that'll bring them to us. For her to talk into. Okay, you ready? Do it.
I'm ready.
You go. Rock and roll, babe.
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so take a deep breath in, breathe out, and say your name 3 times for me, please.
Sure. Cameron Hunter Datsker.
Okay.
Okay. Cameron
Again.
Hunter Datsker.
One more time.
Cameron Hunter Datsker.
Thank you.
I'm hearing impaired.
Okay, so as I'm connecting with your energy, I'm getting 2 things right away.
Okay.
And I'm focusing...
She's shuffling the cards,
I'm focusing
and gentlemen.
Specifically on love. And so what happens as I connect is I will get certain images, certain symbols that I have to decode, and I will hear certain words.
Okay.
So
she's now laying out
the
cards.
First thing that I'm getting is a feeling of like up and down. Oh, you're fine. Up and down, like very roller coaster, and I'm seeing the number 5. In my readings, you know, my readings are a little bit different. When numbers come up and symbols come up, it might not be exactly like numerology. I'm not a numerologist. But 5s in my readings tend to symbolize major shifts in that area in your life, major shifts, and karmic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So you have maybe some romantic karma with past soulmates that you are in the process of clearing out right now. So you are going to be having a time of a relationship, or for you in your case, relationships, plural, where there's a very, very strong magnetic pull.
Okay.
And there's a different type of chemistry. I call it soul chemistry. I am so sorry. I call it soul chemistry, in that you're connected to that person, you're being pulled magnetically. It's not just simply the physical attraction. There's a physical attraction chemistry, but even deeper than that, it's kind of like just this familiarity or this
karmic magnetism that will bring them together because they have things to work out or to assist each other. And by the way, numerologically,
explain to the audience, what is it? What do you mean?
Oh, well, first of all, the number 5 numerologically does indicate change.
Okay.
It is a creative number, and it's from taking things in the world around you and putting them together. So what happens is people are going to be drawn to you because of that karmic thing on this horizontal reality, and you'll start working through things, completing things, and doing transition. It's also a number that'll help with transition. For you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, go on.
Thank you for the numerology input, because I'm not a numerologist by any means.
I've studied she knows.
So, thank you.
Well, as you read, she'll be my voice.
Yes.
Okay. The voice of the LA Talk
Radio. So then, basically, you've got, like you know, these karmic relationships coming in. One of the things that you're having to learn in this lifetime in terms of love, so much of your life has been, I'm hearing the word self-made. I'm hearing the word like proving or having to prove. It's been kind of like the sole mission for you from a very young age where you didn't necessarily want special treatment, but you wanted to be seen for your talents, your abilities, your merits, mm-hmm. and you're very proud that everything that you have that you worked for. Right, but you also go into your love relationships in this way to a certain extent, where it's like you have always attracted women who kind of make you feel like you have to, in some shape or form, earn them, or you have to be a certain way, or you're going to lose them. So it was always kind of like having to earn your keep, even right. within a relationship. And I feel currently there's a karmic relationship with someone that you are involved in. And I know you don't remember, but if you go back and listen to your birthday show, I said that there was somebody right now kind of like around you that was coming in for like a healing period or helping you go a higher level in your love life. But so this person who's coming in is basically coming in because what they are teaching you is that you are worthy of love as you are. It's not something that you need to earn. It's
right.
not something
right.
you don't have to prove yourself or prove your worth. Like it's your birthright
right.
to be loved.
And that's the karmic thing also, because then you once you get through the transition, and then it can come. That person can come to you. And you'll know what it means to be treated nicely,
right.
and you'll know what it means not to have somebody who accepts you as you are for what you believe. And so that I think is a very important lesson, karmic lesson for all of us to learn. Instead of making all these demands and all these lists of how somebody has to act and all of that kind of stuff, that's too taxing.
Yeah,
you've worked very hard.
Too consuming.
Yeah, too long. It's time to find someone that can just appreciate you that way. Yeah, come on.
So
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I mean, it's great to have.
It's the emotional and romantic intervention of Cameron Hunter Dia.
We're all going to read letters in a minute. That we've
written. Send us letters. Send it to him. That's okay.
So basically, like I said, you have this karmic thing coming in to help you realize that you are deserving and worthy of love as you are. Now, this is where it's going to get interesting for you, and I think this is going to happen around May or June.
Okay.
What is going to happen is once that lesson is learned and it's cleared and you are more confident within yourself in terms of like, hey, I know what I'm bringing to the table. I know I'm a good catch. I'm not going to jump through hoops for anybody anymore. Once that's like kind of settled, ingrained in you, there's a past relationship with someone who I feel like you really gave and gave and gave and gave and gave. You were still in that cycle of having, like, trying to, like, prove yourself or your worth or your value. And they just came to a point where they pushed too far, where you were just like, you know what? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, I have done so much, but this is, you have lost your ever-loving mind. Like
yeah.
We're not going anymore. And that was, like, I feel the way that she took it at the time is she felt like you were bluffing, right? Or, like, you didn't mean it, or you were going to go back on it, or you were going to, like, give in at some point. And the pride did not allow her to come back and say, you know what? I'm being too demanding, or I'm asking for too much, or, you know, like, just can we, like, reconcile? It was just more kind of this attitude of, like, well, I don't care, and I'm going to go off, and I'm going to live my life, and I can do better, I can get better, and I don't care what you do. But this person, I feel, is coming back around May or June, and they are going to pour their heart out to you. And I think that because you are someone who, even though you may feel like, I want to close the door on this relationship, I don't want to go back to it, you're going to feel very sorry for them when they show up and begin kind of like crying and sob story and here's all the things I never told you about that happened to me when I was little and here's all of the, you know, like
yeah, just a lot.
Yeah. It's like, it's heavy. Yeah. It's heavy stuff, right?
Okay.
So you are going to have to make a decision at this point when this happens if you're going to wipe the slate clean. And I don't want to say take the person back, but more so start over. Like, okay, like, let's start fresh and let's see. Because you do have the opportunity to have a relationship with this person better than it was last time because you've cleared your thing, and that is karmically or energetically influencing whatever, like, cord or bind that they had to you, and they're coming forward and they're, like, being authentic and dropping the
so
the
they've gone through list. They've gone through their karmic lesson.
Yes. Right. Oh, one thing I want to add, and yes, you can chime in with, like, what you know to be about that as well. But anytime we do any kind of level of healing or releasing, our soulmates are affected by that too.
Yes.
Because they're connected to us.
Right.
And I want to clarify something about soulmate. People hear soulmate and they think, oh, my one and only true love forever and ever and ever. But we have several soulmates. Some are romantic, some are not. Even within romantic soulmates, we have more than one romantic soulmate. There isn't just one soulmate for each person. So, but this is a soulmate relationship. You've got a soulmate relationship right now. But any healing that you're doing, your soulmate is affected also. So they can come back and you can have, like, a clearer chance because you've done your thing, you've done their clearing, and that sets off for them as well.
Right.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think if you do enter back into that relationship with that person, it feels more to me out of, like, just feeling bad for them.
Right.
I don't think that, like, that same passion is going to be there, and I think enough has happened to where, like, you don't want that anymore. I think that one of the things that would cause you to go back to that relationship, and one thing that you can do to kind of change that, is you are so focused on the things that excite you intellectually and in terms of your career and things that are exciting for you in an intellectual or business sense, but you haven't really been connecting or doing things that are exciting you on a personal, emotional level.
Yeah, it's true. He runs around constantly working, yeah, going, doing this, finding out that, researching. Yeah. It's been that for my experience of Cameron, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're by this. She knows.
Yeah. So, and I don't know him, obviously.
And he's got a very kind heart. So
yes,
that's why the thing is I'm interested in, because she will come back and she will have that. But the thing that I would question for him is he just, once again, being the Band-Aid, but
yeah,
the valiant man who wants to help and save.
Again, yeah,
you know,
it's
and that's an archetype,
like,
yeah.
Yeah,
and that's a lovely thing. But I, for Cameron, I want him to have someone that's going to actually give him that love energy that he deserves to have, that we all deserve to have. especially if we're working on ourselves. If we're not working on ourselves, well, then that's an issue for you to deal with. But no,
that's true. Yeah.
Well, I totally agree with you, and that's like what I was trying to get at about like doing the things that excite you on a personal, emotional level, because not only do you deserve to be loved, you deserve someone who's showing up with like passion for you, right?
Yes.
Not as somebody who is like paying a tax or, you know, like...
Right.
Or getting rescued.
Or getting rescued.
Yeah.
Or,
I need your rescue.
Yeah, so... So
many men fall victim to that.
Yeah. And,
right.
Or, you know, so basically the way that you're going to bring in this person who is coming with like wanting to be with you, not because they need to be rescued, but because they want to be with you and they have that passion for you,
right,
is by connecting with your own, on a personal level, passion, energy. That doesn't mean, like, you have to understand, like, you have to light that fire within yourself. And once it's lit, it's going to be lit in all areas. So you're attracting to you the things that that are on that same level or frequency or vibration,
mm-hmm,
of where you are. So you need to do the things that are meaningful to you on a personal level, not just things that are interesting or different or this might be a good way to network or this is something I've always wondered about, but things that really, really, really like affect like to the heart of you. Mm-hmm. So when people say, well, how can I figure out like what I'm passionate about? I don't know. One of the best pieces of advice I ever got about that is, you know, to ask yourself, if I could change anything in the world, just, or if I could change one thing, maybe like one thing in the world that I can change, I could just wave a magic wand and fix it forever. What is the one thing that you would change?
Oh, you're asking me that?
Well, you know, if you don't want to answer now, you don't have to.
No,
right?
Right now,
I'm sorry, you don't have to answer it, yeah, if it's okay. But once you have that in your mind, that's really like kind of what you're connected to. And I'll give an example. Somebody told me, somebody's answer to me to that question was, I would wipe out pedophiles. Okay? So that doesn't mean that their passion is going to be to go be a vigilante.
Right.
And like go hunt down or like go be like a lawyer or
right,
something.
Right.
But it was more like connecting with children.
Right.
Working with children.
That's where the passion
keeping
is.
Keeping children safe. Right. And once they began doing that, their heart chakra completely and totally opened up, and they started to connect with healthier relationships. So that's just like an example.
Well, example with me is I help out with women's group. We're going to do a whole thing, help out women that have been persecuted.
Oh, wow. I would love to do a free energy healing for women who are
going
through that.
Yeah. Soon.
And I think that's the pathway, because you have that spiritual thing going. So working that, I think, will draw that person to you, the one that's coming in May or June.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
May or June is the old relationship.
Of the older relationship.
But what I'm saying is, if he's doing those things that he's passionate about, then he's going to attract more the dream partner or like what he's
at. I'm sorry, I got the months mixed up.
No, that's fine.
But yeah, so even if that woman does show up, if you're in this other path, the energy will pull towards you the person that can appreciate you.
Right.
And you deserve
that.
You deserve that.
All right. So that's it?
Unless you have questions.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a situation before I met, you know, Cassandra and Abby, where I had a lady in Utah.
Uh-huh.
And what I did was during when I had my show, you know, I guess her gift came back. You know, things happen with the mail.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I sent her the gift to the right address instead of the wrong address. But I asked her, she said, I sent you a card, never got it. And it was real bizarre. It was weeks ago. I said, what happened? Never heard back.
Oh, she ghosted you.
Yeah.
That's so rude. I just find that so rude. So cowardice not to be able to like stand up and you know,
that's what I think happened.
People.
And I think what you said and what Cassandra said is true, because I never heard back.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see who shows up. But, you know, the more you work on yourself and spiritually grow, you put yourself on another kind of level
right
within the reality. and then those energies draw into people on that reality. Mm-hmm. So I always tell people, you know, children, I always said to my students, you don't need a boyfriend, you don't need a girlfriend, you need an education. And once you get your education and you get going out in that reality, then people will be coming to you that are more on that level or on a growth level. But it's a tricky thing. You know, according to Kaipacha, whose weekly blog I listen to, there's only like 5% of the world's population really spiritually aware and in touch. Then there's 20% that are kind of in that kind of individual point of view. And then there's 75% are, he did it in a very polite way, he said consensus.
Right.
But the biologists would say that's herd mentality. They just go along with the herd or whatever because it's comfortable and it seems right. So you have the ability to move forward. Go on.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. I just want to say about this person in Utah. I've pulled cards, and I know that maybe like we can't like say her name on the air, but we can do this off the radio. But
Can I give a letter?
Well, I'm just going to tell you what I'm picking up now.
Okay.
Just based on like what I'm looking into, and then if you want to do something more detailed off the air where I can connect with her a little bit more. I do feel that the relationship was legit in terms of like them having feelings for you. But I am also hearing, and this is not a term that comes to me often in readings, and I hope she's not hearing it. If she is, please, no, I'm not saying this with any judgment whatsoever.
By the way, it's not liability of our legal department.
Just don't say a name.
Yeah.
So what are you hearing?
So I'm hearing the term hot mess.
Oh, hot mess.
So I think, to me, my connotation with hot mess is somebody who really has been through a lot and somebody who emotionally does not have a handle on their emotions. And I think that it got too intense for them what they were feeling, and they began to convince themselves that you were this horrible person, that, you know, this is too good to be true, that he's lying to me, that he's using me, he's got all these other women, and it was just like, I hate that jerk, you know? So it was almost like created this
argument.
Exactly. And then so it was just like, I'm not even going to talk to him anymore. I'm also feeling, you know, because, and I did pull, and again, this is harder for me, like, to connect with. I can just go based off what this card means, but we can connect, like, you know, and see how specifically it applies to her, maybe off there. But the reason card, you got the codependency card that came up, and I'm using the Romance Angels deck.
Interesting.
So either this is somebody who maybe slipped back into a time of drinking or something, some kind of coping mechanism, or they jumped back into an old relationship that maybe was drama or not safe or abusive because it was like going back to the fire I know feels more comfortable than jumping into a situation that I am not aware of, especially when they've created this horrible person who's lying to them in their, you know, in their head. And I do feel this is the person that's going to be reaching out to you. Where you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to move forward or not?
Bye-bye.
So, but like
you
said,
you need somebody. You're already
taking. Because Andrew knows you. I say bye-bye.
You're already taking care of your mother. You know, how much more, and running around like a madman, how much more, you know, can you take on?
I have a family situation.
You have your family situation.
Yeah. Well, you haven't heard the sob story yet.
Oh.
But like I said.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But like,
it could be a good one, couldn't
like,
it?
Like I said.
By the way, we're LA Talk Radio, Cameron Sports Live. Cassandra Elliott.
Hi, everybody.
Give us your full name.
Oh, yes. My name is Alice Caprillion.
And how could they reach you?
I have a Facebook and Instagram page, Amethyst Angel Light. Amethyst like the crystal, angel like angel, and light as in L-I-G-H-T. And anybody, if you're listening to the show and you're too shy to call in, if you want to have a private reading, if you just message me and you can like type in radio, I will give you your first reading for just the introductory of like $10.
That's cheap.
It's a half an hour reading. It's very good.
People ask me.
Normally it's 50.
Yeah, my email people. They ask if you take PayPal.
I take PayPal, Venmo, and credit card.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so she does take PayPal.
Cash.
And we're going to be captured to other markets, so they'll hear you.
Oh,
so
cool.
You stay on our show. Stay on our show, then when you want to get a show, you come.
I've been thinking about starting.
Well, you got our show.
Thank you.
So anything else that you know?
Yeah, I'm going to be anybody who's local to Los Angeles. I'm going to be at Artists and Fleas. February 10th,
next week
at Abbott Kinney.
Oh yeah.
So and I'll be doing I'll be doing $10 readings there. I will have jewelry that I've made, crystal jewelry that I've charged with energy, candles, and I'll be doing readings there as well. If you want to come by and say hello, please do stop by.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we'll have you back. When you want.
Anytime you want to have me, I'm happy to be on.
We'll have her after. Shannon, you'll see next week.
Okay, good.
After you,
cool.
I was going to ask you another thing. Career.
Oh, okay.
Career is a good one.
Let's look into career.
It's all the time. She knows me. Time. Okay.
Yeah. I just
want to say something. When I first connected with your energy and I was getting 5, and I looked over, you have some notes written down, and the first number I saw at the top of the page was 5. So that's confirmation for you that there's some very big changes coming your way right now.
Is that interesting?
Yeah.
Good. Good. So currently, she is shuffling the deck.
She knows.
She's shuffling the deck. Now, you decide to shuffle rather than having the person shuffle.
Because
you can channel
that.
The energy yourself, I take
I channel the energy myself, and I don't want anyone to be offended by what I'm about to say. But the reason why I don't have the person touch the cards is because if that person is coming in with a block or a limited belief, and if they have an attachment that's keeping them in that limited belief, I don't want that attachment to come in as a guide and give me information that might not be true. I would rather work with the energy of my guides and with the archangels to make sure that what is coming in is at the highest potential and not the current block. Does that make sense?
Okay, that makes perfect sense, physics-wise.
We have a few minutes.
This way it keeps it separate.
A few minutes of time.
It keeps it separate. So it's kind of like with energy, you can create your own little bubble around it to get your communications
definitely.
In. Rather than have it kind
you don't
of
remember, I remember the days. I don't know if you remember this healer. There was a healer out of San Diego, and he was like an uncle. And I see him in vision. He died of a heart attack, but you would feel his hand on your body when he would be in this room in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And I can't remember his name. Famous healer. I'll have to find his name.
Well, she has the cards out. This is a different deck.
This is a different deck. I'm using the Archangel Tarot.
Okay.
So basically, kind of like what's coming up for you in terms of career is that you were kind of hitting this high point or like this peak, right?
Uh-huh.
And then some kind of relationship stuff or personal stuff came up that kind of caused you to lose focus for a bit.
Right.
And now you're trying to find your footing again. You're trying to like get back to like that climb up or that peak. Right now, currently, there is something, if it hasn't already come your way, I would say within the next 2 or 3 weeks, there's an opportunity being presented to you that almost feels too big to accept. It feels kind of like, I would love to do this, but the timing just isn't right. And if only it had come at a later time, you're going to be very tempted to turn this down. Your guides are saying, if you weren't ready for it, it wouldn't be here now.
Exactly.
Suck it up
and do it.
You need to do it. You need to go for it, and it's going to go well.
Yeah, because I've been feeling that for him also. And some things that you've said to me, it makes it very clear. You need to get up to that other level, and then they'll be a little more calm. That'll make it easier for you to make your transitions and meet your new person.
So so you're being told to take this opportunity. The one thing that they're saying really is that like in order to be successful, there are things coming in that are robbing you of your focus, and that's what your guides want you to be aware of, because you have this card that's coming in reversed. So in the future, focus might be challenging. It's not that you're not able to do this. I mean, you have like the Midas card here. Like you're ready, go for it. But the focus is reversed. So what you're going to have to do moving forward is maybe you've got one too many irons in the fire, or maybe you just kind of right now have things that you're worrying about or that you're like doubting yourself. You have to get that negative ego out of your head, and you have to put the minor stuff on the back burner and allow yourself to focus. And what you have coming up then you have another success card, and this is also a money card. So it's about just buckling down, getting things done, honoring the commitments, and knowing that you're being helped and guided in down the road. I'm also hearing the term windfall. So to me, financially, that's like a windfall financially coming in.
Wow.
Okay. And
look me up.
And so, and I'm also seeing the number six. So that makes me feel like it's probably going to happen within the next 6 months. There's something that you're doing in terms of writing where I don't know if you're being brought in as a consultant, because I don't feel like you're doing the whole of the writing, but you're contributing a good portion. And again, it feels to me like some kind of consultant, which is going to be taken and it's going to be distributed very broadly. So it could be something that's taken and put into a movie. It could be something that is like a real life account or real life telling that you have information around, okay? And so you are going to receive a lot of money from that project.
Good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need to cut you short because of the time, but we want to thank everyone for tuning in. Thanks, Sam. Sam Hassan was our engineer tonight.
Yes.
And we want to thank everybody. And go
Amethyst Angelite. Go Philadelphia.
Go Philadelphia. Anyway, everyone, have a good weekend. Ciao from
Los Angeles, California.